Welcome to the Digital Identity Digest, the audio companion to the blog at Spherical Cow Consulting. I'm Heather Flanagan, and every week I break down interesting topics in the field of digital identity, from credentials and standards to browser weirdness and policy twists. If you work with digital identity but don't have time to follow every specification or hype cycle, you're in the right place. Let's get into it. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to a Digital Identity Digest. I'm Heather Flanagan, and today we're going to talk about something that's kind of only just starting to make it onto the front page, and that's what happens when AI agents run wild, and more importantly, who actually ends up footing the bill when they do. Now, spoiler alert, it's probably not the vendors themselves, and it's probably not who you think inside your own organizations either. So what we're going to talk about today are incentives, identity, and the hidden bills that show up long after the press release celebrating AI adoption has faded. So let's set the stage a little more clearly for what inspired this post. It's something recently published from Google, and it's something that many people have been just anxiously awaiting for, actual hard numbers on how much energy a single AI prompt consumes. Now, their report says the median Gemini prompt uses about 0.24 watt hours of electricity. To put that into context, that's roughly the same as running your microwave for 1 second plus a few drops of water for cooling. Now, at first glance, that sounds like stupid small, like who cares? With the number of prompts happening, however, these drops in the ocean will kind of eventually drown continents. But this story isn't about that number. This story is about the incentives behind those numbers, who benefits, who pays, and how those dynamics are shaping the way AI gets deployed. To understand what's happening here, take a quick trip back in time to the cloud computing boom. You probably remember the pitch, right? Save money, get rid of your data center, cloud computing for the win. In 2021, Sarah Wang and Martin Casado at Andreessen Horowitz wrote The Cost of Cloud, a $1 trillion Paradox. Their argument was that cloud services, while amazing for speed and agility, actually became a drag on profitability once companies started to really scale up. Now, Dropbox learned this the hard way. They've very famously repatriated workloads back from the public cloud and ended up saving about $75 million over 2 years. That doubled their gross margins from 33% to 67%. CrowdStrike and Zscaler, they pulled similar tricks with more hybrid approaches. The lesson here is that the early incentives, in this case, move to the cloud, absolutely reward adoption. But later, when the bills grow big enough, cost discipline becomes a board-level issue. And at that point, the inefficiency is kind of already baked into your operations and you have a whole lot of work to do. So AI and AI energy use is following very much the same arc. Right now, everyone is still in the woo-hoo adoption phase, but the hidden costs are absolutely waiting to sort of descend upon all these implementers. So let's talk about the incentives for LLM vendors first, right? Their incentives, I think, are pretty darn clear. They are driven to encourage mass adoption. So vendors emphasize efficiency gain. Google bragged about Gemini's 33-fold reduction in energy per query from 2024 to 2025. Sounds great, but these disclosures aren't standardized. They're very selective, and the vendors are going to share what flatters them, not what helps customers make better choices. And while they're, touting those gains, the race to ship bigger, flashier, more capable models keeps accelerating. The scale is bringing in revenue. The energy, water, and carbon costs is almost somebody else's problem. Now let's look at enterprises using these LLMs. What are their incentives? And, frankly, the picture there isn't a whole lot clearer than for the vendors. And here's why. A cloud invoice hides the per prompt cost. Right. IAM and security teams are the one granting permission to agents, but they don't own the sustainability budget. And sustainability teams, they don't have the visibility into permissions or entitlements. So what happens is over-provisioning goes unnoticed. AI agents get to just run, and every permissioned action quietly consumes resources, and the bills get paid later, often by someone who had no say in how those permissions were granted in the first place. It's the same mismatch of that cloud adoption created. IT ops pays the bill, developers get the flexibility, and the CFO discovers the hit long after the fact. And AI is just another chapter of that particular story. So what happens when regulators enter the chat? This is where the story shifts a little bit, because unlike the early days of cloud, regulators are already paying attention. You think maybe that we actually learned from our experiences. So environmental, social, and governance, or ESG reporting, is no longer considered optional in many regions of the world. And governments are really putting teeth behind that. In the United States, for example, the SEC's climate disclosure rule requires large public companies to report greenhouse gas emissions, and fines are already happening. Deutsche Bank paid a $19 million settlement for misstating their ESG claims, for example. In Europe, the Corporate Sustainability Reporting Directive, better known as the CSRD, they set penalties that really bite into profit too. In Germany, fines can hit up to 10 million euro or 5% of turnover. In France, executives can literally face prison times for obstructing these kinds of ESG disclosures. Moving around the world, in Australia, directors must certify sustainability data as part of their financial filings, and civil penalties can reach hundreds of millions, and individuals can be personally liable for over $1 million Australian. Now, all of this isn't about fear-mongering, though if it got your attention, great. It's about the reality. Boards are now directly accountable for climate and resource disclosures. And while one AI prompt is tiny, multiply it by millions of prompts and thousands of agents, and suddenly it's a regulatory reporting item. So where does identity come into all of this? Because you know I had to go there. Every AI agent action isn't just a governance act, right? It's a consumption event. Permissions stop being just about who can do what. They also become about what we're willing to pay financially and environmentally for those agents to do that action. Now, a human user with unused entitlements is a risk. But an AI with broad entitlements is more than just a risk. It's actually now like this interesting resource leak. It'll happily keep churning along until someone intervenes, and by then the costs have already piled up. Now imagine that your audit logs didn't just say who accessed what, but also said how much energy and water those actions consumed, which may sound futuristic, but sustainability reporting is actually heading in that direction. IAM teams may find themselves pulled into ESG conversations, whether they think that's in their remit or not. Now let's connect this all back to governance. I've said before that runtime governance is essential when AI can move faster than human oversight cycles. So now add in the sustainability angle, right? Runtime checks can throttle not just security risks, but waste. For example, deny agents the ability to hammer a system with brute force permutations, or flag actions that consume way more resources than a typical query, or revoke unnecessary entitlements before they become both a risk and an expense. Governance is shifting all those things from is this allowed to is this worth it? So let's bridge back to history again. The hidden costs of the cloud, which is really just someone else's computer, were supposed to teach us that efficiency ignored eventually becomes inefficiency entrenched. Once you're so used to it, it becomes part of your infrastructure. It's just what you do, and it's really hard to dig it out. I'm not convinced everyone learned that lesson, but AI is repeating it anyway, with water, energy, and carbon as the currencies. Now, like cloud spending, you know, AI usage starts pretty small, but it scales faster than the oversight cycles that organizations are already struggling with. And when regulators start demanding transparency, boards are going to want clear, defensible answers. And that's where identity leaders come in, right? Permissions are this choke point between an agent's intent and its actions. Expanding the governance lens to include consumption could give organizations a head start on both the bills and the regulatory scrutiny. So let's bring all this together. Vendors are incentivized by adoption and scale, but not by efficiency. Enterprises are operating in silos that tend to hide the true costs of what they're doing. Regulators, in the meantime, are introducing very real penalties for climate and resource misstatements. And identity teams are sitting at this very interesting choke point, granting permissions that double as consumption risk. So I'm not trying to turn IAM professionals into sustainability officers, but I am trying to get you to recognize that the incentives travel with the permissions. And when permissions scale through AI, the costs then travel with them. So here's the question I'm going to leave you with. Have you seen incentives around AI use in your organization, good or bad? And how did those incentives shape the choices that your team made? Because incentives aren't just a policy issue or a compliance box to tick. They're the difference between governance you can explain to your board and governance you only notice you needed when the bill or the fine lands on your desk. And that's enough to think about today. That's all for this episode of A Digital Identity Digest. Thanks for listening. And if you found it useful, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast or go over and check the written blog, because there's a bunch of links to some of the things I referred to today at SphericalCowConsulting.com. So until next time. And that's it for this week's episode of the Digital Identity Digest. If it helps make things a little clearer, or at least a little more interesting, share it with a friend or colleague and connect with me on LinkedIn at HL Flanagan. And if you enjoyed the show, do be sure to subscribe and leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find the written full post at SphericalCowConsulting.com. Now stay curious, stay engaged, and let's get these conversations going. Oh.